your doll, I'll put you on a trip. Lean back and stay a while, now here's my lecture.
Hello, this is Brad Crandall, your host for Monitor 67, the up-to-date sound of what's happening in the weekend world. Ahead, Joe Gargiola talks about Bill Bradley, who's a scholar first and a professional basketball player second. Also, we'll be talking with Beth Brown, author of a new book called Play Your Hunch, about how to make the most of personal opportunity. First, Monitor Music, Julie Andrews, Thoroughly Modern Billy.
There are those, I suppose, think we're mad, heaven knows the world has gone. We think he's chic, unique, and quite adorable. They think he's odd and fun and adorable. But the fact is, everything today is thoroughly modern. Check your personality, everything today makes yesterday slow. Better face reality, if not insanity, then Vanity Fair. In fact, it's stylish to raise your skirts and bob your hair. Rumble seat, the world is so cozy. If the boy is kissable and that tango dance they wouldn't allow. Now it's quite possible. Goodbye, good booty girl, I'm changing in heart. So beat the drums, cause here comes thoroughly more.
Monitor Sports with Joe Gargiola.
Every once in a while, I like to sit down at this microphone and talk about some of the quotes that show up on the sports pages of this country. There have been funny ones and sad ones, silly ones and interesting ones. Early this week, there was a quote that was one of the most unusual I've ever read. It all came about when the New York Knickerbockers of the National Basketball Association called a press conference to announce that they had signed Bill Bradley to a long-term and big bonus contract. If the sports page isn't part of your required reading, you might have missed hearing about Bradley. He's a young man from Crystal City, Missouri, who went to Princeton. While he was there, he played basketball and he also studied. And it's kind of tough to figure out which he did better. As an athlete, he was on everybody's All-American team. And as a student, he won a Rhodes Scholarship. 2 years ago, Bradley graduated from Princeton. It was no secret that he intended to take advantage of the Rhodes Scholarship and go to Oxford. But the Knicks drafted him anyway. Sure enough, Bradley announced that he was going to continue his studies. At the press conference, he was asked why he had decided now to give pro basketball a try. First, he talked about the money. He said that it would be silly to say that the money wasn't a part of it, but it wasn't the biggest part. The press believed him, because if it had only been the money, he could have grabbed a big chunk of it 2 years ago. Then the young man explained how he had made his decision. He said that about 3 months ago, he had walked into Oxford's brand new gymnasium. He was there all alone. Pretty much from force of habit, he picked up a basketball and started to take a few shots. He explained his feelings by saying, "There I was, all alone in that gym. Suddenly I was the whole game. I was both teams. I was the referee. I was even the crowd. I got all caught up in it, and I suddenly realized something that I guess I hadn't wanted to realize before. I missed competitive basketball. I missed it very much." As I read that quote over again, I felt glad that Bradley had put his feelings into words. The man who has competed in sports knows something of what Bradley was talking about. In Bradley's case, the situation is a little different because he had been not just an athlete, but a superstar. Yet an awful lot of men would be able to understand what happened to him that day. But mostly, Bradley's quote should have been read by people who don't have an awareness of sports. It can tell them a lot about athletes. There are people in this country who will say about an athlete, he has all the money he'll ever need. Why doesn't he quit? Well, I guess it's because he doesn't know anything else. Well, I think we can safely rule out the possibility that Bill Bradley doesn't know anything else. He didn't get to be a Rhodes Scholar by shooting foul shots. Money isn't a problem for him, and it never was. His father is a successful bank president. Bill Bradley came back to basketball because he found that he still got a thrill out of it. And when he admitted that, he pointed out the big reason that athletes are such lucky people. Not because of the fame or the money, but because they can get a thrill out of their jobs. And not many men can say that. This is Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports. And now this for Vigoro.
When the green grass is gone, and you gotta make it shake up.
You bet. And the answer is simple. Every Vigoro product is tailor-made for the area where it's sold. That's the secret behind the bold green vigor of Vigoro. Vigoro for goof-proof lawn foods. You sure ought to try them.
Joe Garagiola is heard every weekend on Monitor and weekdays on NBC Radio. It's 15 minutes after the hour, and in just a few minutes, we'll be talking with a lady who's written a book about how to recognize opportunity when it knocks. So you stay with us, huh? You're on the Monitor Beacon.
Shakespeare wrote, "There is a tide in the affairs of men which, taken at the flood, leads on to fortune. Omitted, all the voyage of their life is bound in shallows and in miseries." But the bard never explained how to take this tide at its flood and follow it to fortune. Which may be why so many of us think that we might have done better if only we'd had that one big break. Well, if you feel that way, you'll enjoy hearing from Monitor's guest today. Her name is Beth Brown, and she's written a new book called Play Your Hunch, Make It a Miracle. Miss Brown, welcome to Monitor.
How do you do?
You say play your hunch. Beth, Webster defines a hunch as a strong intuitive impression that something will happen. Is that definition adequate for your purposes in the book?
No. My definition of a hunch is every human being is full of dreams. We all have wishes. How can we make them come true?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know the adage, thoughts are things. It isn't enough to think a thought, but you project a power behind it. It goes out into the universe, takes on a form, just like dough in a cookie cutter, and you find your wish granted. Now, what happens? The hunch that you had to pick up a telephone, to write a letter, to go see someone, to invest in the stock market, a tap on the shoulder, that's a hunch. When you succeed, you've created a miracle.
I see. And you feel then that someone who has hunches, and most everyone has at one time or another, should really play them and not just put them down and forget them because they don't fit into what they had planned for this week.
Right.
Do you think that an individual, you or perhaps me or anybody else, can look at this situation, can look at this opportunity when it comes along and take advantage of it?
Why not? The opportunity was created how? In answer to your thought. That's what made it a thing, an opportunity.
Then, in other words, what you're saying is that your belief in this, your desire for this, creates the opportunity for it right out of itself.
Right. Everything creates itself out of itself. When you say to Willie, as a little boy, my Willie has a weak stomach. Willie's stomach hears that, and the woman who marries Willie marries the weak stomach that Willie's mother has given Willie. But when you say to your Willie, oh, how clever you are, or you say to your Betty, how beautiful you are, an impression takes form within the subconscious of the human being, and you become that human being. You're filled with the power of that thought.
We are what we think, then.
Right. I've done chapters on how to make money, how to win a man or a woman, how to pay off a mortgage, how to pray. So for those who want a religious overtone, they have it. For those who want a business overtone, they have it. I've given case histories of a man who sits with a dream in a little bit of an office, wants to build a skyscraper, puts a few marks on a piece of paper. What happens? Pretty soon, the thought that was in that man's mind, that little bit of a man, maybe he's only 5'2", becomes this terrific big skyscraper. The Pan Am building was built that way.
A man, I didn't know that.
In an office, had an idea to build the Pan Am building.
Mm-hmm.
An idea.
And nothing more. What you're really saying, then, is that ideas are what move things, and faith in those ideas is what makes them move. This is what provides the motive power, the real power behind them.
Right.
If you could advise the average person to whom you were speaking to cultivate one trait, what would you recommend?
The one trait I would recommend would be never to give up. Don't pay attention to what people say it can't be done. It's because they can't do it. If you have an idea, a vision, a dream, an ideal, every morning and every night, just put that away into your subconscious mind and say to your subconscious mind, do this for me. God created me to have a full life. Produce. And you will see it come to pass.
Thank you very much, Beth. We've been talking with Beth Brown, author of the new book, Play Your Hunch, Make It a Miracle.
Now that the summer's come and gone, I'll say goodbye. Now that the winter's coming on, I'll say goodbye. I'm not the first man or the last who had a thirst to leave the past. So while the autumn rain is falling, I'll say goodbye. For every star that falls to earth, a new one grows. For every dream that fades away, a new one grows. Things are not what they would seem. You must keep following your dream. So while my heart is still believing, I'll say goodbye. I can't be caged in by a ring. So while the chilly wind is blowing, I'll say goodbye. So as the winter says hello, I'll say goodbye. I'd never ever goodbye. I'm just a man and nothing more. In the face of love, I close the door. 'Cause another rose calling, I'll say goodbye.
Rogers, I'll say goodbye. Now, this word from the National Association for Mental Health. Skilled professionals and dedicated volunteers conduct a year-round war against mental illness. They fight this war under the banner of your Mental Health Association, a banner that waves bravely, considering how few citizens help keep it aloft.
Minds can be mended if you help. Please contribute to your local mental health association. Georgie Girl, the Baja Marimba Band. You're listening to Monitor, the sound to have around all through the weekend, no matter where you are, at home or in your car, anywhere in the USA. In the area of Charleston, South Carolina, our friends hear us on WOKE. Now, let's pause for a moment to hear the call letters of all our NBC affiliates, and then more of Monitor 67. I'm Brad Crandall.
Monitor reaches all America on the NBC Radio Network.
Would you deny anyone his legal rights because he has no funds for a lawyer? Friends, the needy of New York are your neighbors, and the Legal Aid Society is their lawyer. Please help justice with your check to the Legal Aid Society, 11 Park Place, New York 10007. 42 degrees and raining in Big Town, the big voice of Big Town, USA, WNBC, New York. It's 8:30.
Now, 5 minutes of Monitor music, leading off with the Brothers Four and Shenandoah.
Oh,
next, the American Patrol with Lingering On. This is Brad Crandall for Monitor, where, just 2 minutes from now, we'll be seeing Montreal's Expo 67 through the eyes of NBC's Ben Grauer as he takes a guided tour through the Russian pavilion there. First, let's hear from Dean Martin, the bartending balladeer, as he sings Lay Some Happiness On Me.
Goodbye. Lay some happiness on me, so the bride.
this week, I'm told, a visitor to the Russian pavilion at Montreal's Expo 67 asked if the Soviets have problems with automobile accidents, and the Russian guide said, no, we don't allow them. NBC's Ben Grauer also visited the Russian pavilion, and here for Monitor, he reports his impressions both of the Russian exhibit and of his guide.
I've just entered and have been walking through a fantastic display of, you might say an encyclopedic listing of achievements of the Russian peoples, that is, of the Soviet state, in recent years. I'm going to ask my guide, who is Joseph Adamov of Radio Moscow. You're a broadcaster in your homeland, right?
Yes, Ben, I'm going to call you Ben because I've known your name for quite a number of years.
Well, let's talk about your pavilion. There's so much to talk about in the sense there's so many exhibits. What would you say are some of the outstanding ones?
Well, of course, a lot of the people like to see our major space exhibits. They're quite a hit, and well, I think it's only natural.
That's the area we're standing in. What's that capsule there that looks like our Gemini?
That is Gagarin's ship, and I don't have to tell you that Gagarin was the first man in orbit.
All right.
We have an exact copy of his capsule standing right here on the ground. You can see sort of a figure of an astronaut or cosmonaut inside, and the ejection seat. Right in front of us here is the Venus probe that landed the Soviet pennant on Venus, and next to it is the first Lunik to orbit the moon.
What's that big gazoo there? I don't know what to call it, hanging near the window in this five- or eight-story structure.
That is the biggest piece of space hardware that we've launched. It's the 12.2-ton Proton flying laboratory, and incidentally, Ben, right next to it, that little round ball over there...
Oh, yes.
...is the...
That's Sputnik.
Yes, the first Sputnik.
I recognize
1957.
It. You had it in Brussels in 58.
Yeah.
What's that... The snoot-nosed plane model there with its nose drooping.
That is the Tupolev 144, the supersonic passenger plane, which ought to be flying at the beginning of next year.
Besides giant pieces of hardware and space exploits, let's get to something personal and intimate. Did I see some ladies' garments in that case there?
Yes, it's an exhibition of our furs, which are sold here in Montreal.
Yeah?
Well...
That's Russian sable.
That's Russian sable.
What's that little chic thing cost, about $10,000?
That little chic thing, I don't know exactly, but I heard a lady tell me yesterday several times more than the figure you mentioned.
Really? I see a giant bronze plaque of the founder of Lenin.
That's right. That is a bas-relief of Lenin, the founder of our state, and right underneath the portrait is a map of the power grid of the Soviet Union, and under that is the model of the biggest hydroelectric station in the world on the Yenisei River in Siberia, 6 million kilowatts.
Well, I get the impact. It's largest, biggest.
Yes.
You're expressing what the Soviet Union has done in recent
years. Exactly. I may sound like a man from Texas. I don't intend to, but unfortunately, the things exhibited here are usually the biggest or the first.
Right.
But
say,
the aim of all...
Where did you learn your English? You sound like you're right out of... New York or something.
I'm having a lot of trouble with my English, Ben. I walked into our canteen the other day and I was told we only serve Soviet personnel here.
And you were born in the USSR?
I was born and brought up in the USSR, and this is the first time I'm on the American continent.
We're visiting with Joe Adamov at the Russian Pavilion at Montreal's Expo 67. This is Ben Gow reporting for Monitor.
I wish I could speak Russian like that Russian speaks English. Sergio Mendez now with a description of one full orbit of the Earth, night and day.
Night and day, you are the one. Only you beneath the moon and under the sun.
Whether near to me or far, it's no matter, darling, where you are.
Traffic's boom.
Monitor at 16 minutes before the hour. Ahead, Sport of Speed with Ted Webb and an interview with nightclub singer Edie Adams, who comes up with comments on dressmaking, performing, and the difficulties of show business marriages. So stay tuned. You're on the Monitor Beacon. Brad Crandall here, continuing with Monitor 67. Here's the big sound of Buddy Rich and the orchestra as they play the Monitor theme. This coming Thursday evening, the NBC Television Network will present a special color cast of the Colgate Comedy Hour, featuring 13 headline comedy stars in an hour-long program of sketches, monologues, and original music. One of the stars of the show is Miss Edie Adams. She was interviewed for Monitor by Rick Lazar backstage during rehearsals.
Edie, many of the ladies listening in to our Monitor program often wonder, is it very hard to have your career going, and then keep up a home with your children and so on?
Well, I think any career, whether it's show business or no matter what it may be, it's difficult to keep two up. Although with all the modern conveniences and everything, I think women have a lot more time to spend.
And in your nightclub acts, I always notice that you wear the most fantastic gowns. Where do the creations come from?
Well, the gowns, I always get a fabulous designer. Now, I usually use Jimmy Galanos, because the gowns are very specifically made, and when you see how he does a very specific seam, you understand why he is designing clothes and why I am fooling around with my home sewing machine trying to make, little sport things. It's a beautiful workmanship and a sense of line that you just can't get. But fooling around with costumes, I love to do that.
Well, your sense of design, are you saying that fooling around with dresses, do you make your own dresses sometimes?
Oh, sure. Funny ones, like sport things and, if it's a very elaborate kind of a fur or something that's very nightclubby, then I like to go splurging, use all my creative whatever that way on sort of funny things. But when it comes to a real good line of a dress, I know why I'm not a designer.
Edie, are you interested in other facets of show business, say like directing or producing someday?
No, writing sometime I like to fool with. I like to fool around with that once in a while. Producing is too many headaches. Directing takes all the time. But I just want to perform.
What can we look forward to in the May 11th Colgate Comedy Hour?
Well, I'm sure lots of laughs. I have never had anything remind me so much of the backstage of Mad, Mad, Mad World that it is right out in that hall right there. All the comedians together. It's really funny.
Edie, thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much.
Be sure to join Edie Adams and her 12 co-stars this Thursday evening for the Colgate Comedy Hour on NBC Television. Now, in his best and most relaxed style, here's Perry Como to sing his big current hit, Stop, and Think It Over.
Why don't you stop and think it over before you say it's over, because it'll never be over for me. Why don't you stop and think it over before you say it's over, because it'll never be over for me. Think of all the happy times we knew, all the memories I shared with you. Why don't you stop and think it over before you say it's over, because it'll never be over for me. Don't walk out the door and say goodbye.
try. Isn't what we have worth one more try?
Why don't you stop and drink it over before? You say it's over because you'll never be over for me.
I just don't know.
At the Monitor Sports Desk, here's Mel Allen.
Monitor presents Sport of Speed. It's time for your weekend checkpoint for Ted Webb's news, views, and results from the world of auto racing. Brought to you by the many service stations from coast to coast that carry a brand of Pennsylvania motor oil. Ted will be along in just a moment. First of all, let me ask you this. Is your car's engine running like something that doesn't fit? Well, maybe you better change to a brand of Pennsylvania motor oil. Yes, it's a proven fact that crude oil from wells in the Pennsylvania region produces oils of superior lubricity, or oiliness. Because they have a unique molecular structure, Pennsylvania motor oils last longer, make your car's engine run smoother. Follow the lead of sports car fans. For the good of your engine, insist on a brand of Pennsylvania motor oil. And by the way, if you're a sports car fan, get this. The Pennsylvania Grade Crude Oil Association again this year is repeating its offer of rally kits. Each kit has six big checkpoint signs, windshield stickers numbered 1 through 100, and a pad of 120 sanctioned rally scoring slips. To get a rally kit for your club, just send $1 to Checkpoint, Box 96, Oil City, Pennsylvania. Now, here's Ted.
Thank you, Mel. Lorenzo Bandini, top factory driver for Ferrari, was critically injured today during the running of the Formula One Grand Prix of Monaco at Monte Carlo. Bandini, who co-drove with Chris Amon to win the 24-hour Continental Sports Car Race at Daytona last February, was running second in today's race when his car got off the course and piled into a barrier of hay bales and overturned before bursting into flames. Bandini was rushed to the hospital, where he was declared to be suffering internal injuries as well as burns about the arms and face. His eyes were said to be not affected. After a four-hour operation, the doctor said that no prognosis would be issued before tomorrow. When the accident occurred, after 86 of the 100 laps had been completed, Bandini was 7 seconds behind the eventual winner, Dennis Hume of New Zealand, driving a Repco Brabham. Hume averaged 76 miles an hour for the 195-mile race. Graham Hill, three times winner of this event, finished second, one lap behind Hume. Hill was in a Lotus. Third was Chris Amon in Ferrari. Fourth went to Bruce McLaren in a car of his own manufacture. Pedro Rodriguez took fifth in Cooper Maserati, and Mike Spence was sixth in BRM. Of the 16 starters, only six finished. Surtees in Honda went out with a broken piston. Brabham retired with a broken connecting rod. And America's hope, Dan Gurney, retired after five laps with fuel injector pump trouble. Lorenzo Bandini was entered to drive Wally Weir's car at Indianapolis later this month, and word to me is that Weir may attempt to substitute Ferrari driver-engineer Mike Parks, Bandini's teammate. The USAC sanctioned Yankee 300 for late model stock scheduled at Claremont, Indiana today was postponed until May 27th because of wet ground. A faulty fuel feed today robbed Mark Donahue of his chance to make it three wins in a row in the United States Road Racing Championship meet in Monterey, California. Donahue was leading by almost a lap when forced to pit twice, which allowed Lothar Matschenbacher of Beverly Hills to take the win in a McLaren Mark II. Finishing second was Mike Goth of Corona Del Mar in a Lola Mark III, and Donahue salvaged a third in his Lola. John Cannon of Montreal was fourth in McLaren. Skip Barber of Boston was fifth also in McLaren. 12th overall and first under 2 liters was Fred Baker of Miami in a Porsche Carrera. 30 cars started, 17 were running at the finish. At Indianapolis today, 33 cars were out for practice. Andretti turned the year's fastest speed with a sizzling 166.883-mile-an-hour lap. Parnelli Jones in the Turbine car did 162.9, and Gordon Johncock was clocked at 162 on his first day out. The USAC sprint feature at Salem, Indiana today was won by Raleigh Beal of Toledo. Bruce Walkup of Downey, California was second. Scratch Daniels of St. Paul finished third. This is Ted Webb.
Sport of Speed with Ted Webb is brought to you twice each weekend by the many famous brands of Pennsylvania Motor Oil. For the lasting good of your engine, insist on a Pennsylvania Motor Oil. This is Mel Allen for Monitor Sports.
Sport of Speed is heard every weekend on Monitor. With his latest, Ilya Darling. You're listening to Monitor, your guided tour of the weekend world, and I'm your host, Brad Crandall, reminding you that NBC News on the Hour is coming up, and then we'll be back.
This is your NBC Monitor. This is your NBC Monitor. This is your station, the pulse of the nation. It's NBC.
Chateau Martin wine is on the list of best sellers. Best wine sellers everywhere.
Dime, it's about the Chateau Martin wine. The flavor and aroma are so fine. Try the sherry or the port, try the gallon or the quart. You'll be nuts about the Chateau Martin wine.
Every well-stocked cellar includes Chateau Martin port wine. The rich, clear dessert wine that provides the happy ending to a perfect dinner. Chateau Martin port wine, made from choice California grapes, mellowed in 100-year-old oak casks, is distinctive in flavor and aroma. Try it, then you'll understand why...
Chateau Martin wine is on the list of best sellers. Best wine sellers everywhere.
I am rich about your Chateau Martin wine.
A product of Chateau Martin Wines, New York. Makers of famous Chateau Martin Sherry Wine. Had any lately?
You can bank on Brant Crandall's unlimited fund of knowledge weeknights at 9 on the Big Voice of Big Town USA. WNBC, New York.